Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
And we start off today with the news. We're going to talk about sex straight off the bat. I mean, it's a baptism of fire for me here. This week, Solidarity held a Dáil demonstration calling for religion to be taken out of sex education. The party is bringing forward a bill on the issue. It aims to remove religious ethos from relationship and sex education, as well as covering LGBT issues and consent. So I'm asking you today, how was sex ed taught when you were at school? And I have a few of your tweets already, so we'll get around to them in just a moment. But if you were a child of the 80s, you might just remember this.
It's amazing, you know, how God made it. Because while they're making love and being happy together, the woman feels her vagina becoming kind of slippery inside, so that the penis can easily slip in and out. No trouble. And that's called sexual intercourse. Some people call it having sex.
Some people do indeed. No trouble, she says as well. That is... yeah, I think that's not something that will get you in the mood for it anyway. That was a clip from Angela McNamara's sex education video from schools from the 1980s. We've all been passing it around today and learning lots of new things about it. But anyway, has sex ed changed much since those days? I certainly do hope so. Do we need to rethink the way that we teach it, though? And that is the big question I'm asking today. And what is the healthiest way to talk to kids and teenagers about it? Well, to discuss, I'm joined by Emily Power-Smith, clinical sexologist and sexuality educator. Emily, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. The first question, and it is the most basic of questions, do we do it right in this country in terms of how we teach our kids about sex?
Do we do it right? Well, I think that's a very tricky question because it's different for everybody. But I think our model that we, if we even have a model, I think is lacking. It doesn't really help our children or ourselves to understand how to talk about sex in a healthy way. And I think the first step to better sexual behaviours and experiences is to be able to normalise sexuality and talk about it, discuss it, come up with different scenarios, practice, play them out. I'm talking about in an educational setting. And none of this is really done in a way that is positive or empowering for young people at the moment. As far as I know, there are some wonderful educators who are doing incredible work in Ireland, but unfortunately, they are very much in the minority.
I remember when I was taught sex ed in school. I can't remember much of the detail about it. It would have been start of secondary school, maybe 2002, 2003. And we were all sort of brought into one of the prefab buildings. They pulled down the blinds and it was all diagrams and diaphragms from that point on. But I mean, we get one tweet in here from Peter Kavanagh on Twitter. I asked him, you know, did you learn enough in sex education class in school? And he said, oh, heavens no, the boys and girls were separated. And Moonshore Ulton spoke to us for half an hour about the urges we would all feel and the process by which conception happens. His face grew redder by the second, peaking at beetroot at the mention of contraception. With regards to this bill, Emily, the Solidarity says students are potentially, they're missing out on factual education on everything from, you know, LGBTQ relationships to contraception to consent and options in a crisis pregnancy. We're not really preparing ourselves and our teenagers and our children for the reality of what actually happens out there, are we?
No, I think I'm so happy to see this bill being talked about. And I think they've got a really good, rounded idea of what should be taught to our children. But I think we have to, so I really welcome it and I'm delighted because it is their bill that they're suggesting is inclusive and they want reliable, factual information, which is very empowering. I mean, yes, we can talk about consent is the big thing at the moment and we're all wringing our hands. How do we do that? And I have a lot of ideas around that. But I think we have to also start looking. There are a few of us in Ireland who are sex positive and who are trying very hard to get conversations going around sexuality. And this is what this wonderful group are doing in this instance. And it's great to see it. I think for most of us, we have to kind of think about the framework within which we're having these discussions, what our assumptions are about sex and what people need to know. So I think it's important to try and move away from the model, the fear model, where we're really preparing our children for all the things that could go wrong. And perhaps balance that with all the things that can go right if they're given the right education. I mean, you can talk about unwanted pregnancies and abortion. We're not even teaching the correct anatomy. Mm. We're not even teaching children about female sexual organs.
What do you mean? I mean, what are we teaching them that's wrong?
Well, if you have a look at what's usually taught, the penis is talked about and there's diagrams for that, but the female sexual organ is described as the vagina, which is the vaginal canal, the birth canal. That is incorrect. That is the birth canal. It's not the sexual organ, which is our clitoris. That's left out of diagrams. It's not even mentioned. And we have an internal clitoris, which can be up to 5 inches long. I'm teaching lots of new things now. And it's not even mentioned. It hasn't even been taught to medics over generations. It's been taken out of medical journals and books, including Grey's Anatomy, over the past century and a half, let's say, because we didn't know what it was for other than pleasure. And God forbid we talk about pleasure.
No, that's completely off limits. I notice my production staff are furiously writing notes as you're talking there. Paul Anthony Ward on Twitter, though, Emily, says that we're talking about this all wrong. He says we absolutely got sex education in school, both biological in science class in junior cert cycle and relationship stuff in religious education of all classes. And always find, he says, Paul Anthony says that he always finds other kids from the 90s talking like they grew up in Angela's ashes a bit dubious, to be quite honest. I mean, do we tend to over-exaggerate, you know, our own experiences of sex education because we do want to have the conversation? It's like, oh, it was all different in my day and we never got taught about this or that.
Well, we weren't taught. I mean, there may have been a class like you had. So, yes, you attended a class. That doesn't mean you were equipped, as you said yourself, to go out and try and conduct yourself in a respectful and safe and pleasurable way. That wasn't taught. And teaching relationships in a religious class is going to it's going to use the marriage model. It's going to be heteronormative. It's going to be homophobic. It's going to just cover one type of relationship, which is, in inverted commas, a loving one. Well, I mean, let's face it, our young people, that's not their context for having sex. Mm. So if and young people and children are very literal. So if you're just teaching them one model and then they go out and they have sex or they are sexual, maybe it's not full penetrative sex, but they're engaging in sexual acts and it's not being taught to them, they really feel like they're doing something that's almost wrong. And that creates a gap for them. It's very hard for them to go and speak to someone reliable if they have never heard of what they're doing other than online and with their peers. It's very hard for them to go to an adult that could actually help them out and give them some reliable and helpful information.
All right,
Emily, so I think we're causing a gap there for our young people, which is a shame.
I have to say the texts and the tweets are flying in on this. We're going to bring some of these now, Emily. Richard Collum on Twitter asking me, does Ivan Yates or Sean Moncrief need to have the talk with you? I can't imagine anything I'd rather talk to Ivan Yates about any even less than that. But Neil tweets in to ask, he says that when it was time to learn about lady parts, the fellas in his school were sent to the hall to play Unihoc. The upshot was that my Unihoc game became elite. But the downside is I learned about women by watching dogs. I'd ask one out and she would say yes. Then I'm not even reading the rest of that. Bad times is what he's saying there anyway. But that, I mean, that is something that I do think a lot of people have experience of, is that they would separate the boys and the girls in these classes and the boys would go out in the yard and play a bit of PE or vice versa. Do we need to have those classes together to make sure that, you know, boys and girls know how to treat each other with a respect when it comes to these issues?
Well, you're answering that question with the question. It makes perfect sense, doesn't it? If we're going to use a heteronormative model and the idea is that boys and girls or men and women get together to be sexual, surely to goodness, males should know what a female, what a vulva looks like and how it works and vice versa. I mean, surely that's just common sense. But, you know, I don't know how the religious faction get there. You know, they're really, in one way, you could think they're encouraging same-sex activities by only teaching girls about girls and boys about boys, right?
It's kind of
a bit messed up in that respect.
Okay, I mean, Angie texts in to say that on sexual education, she was in school in Dublin in the late 1960s. She says that the teacher asked us if we understood the Hail Mary. So she went on to explain it was all going fine until she came to the word womb. And not one of the 11-year-olds knew what it was. So she went on to explain, don't you just love religion, she adds. I mean, is the core of the issue here is that we have a predominance of religious ethos schools in this country, whether it be at primary or secondary level. And obviously you're looking at things through that prism.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And I'm in my late 40s. I was educated in the 80s, and my education was not religious based. My sex education, it was science based, but it absolutely gave me no help whatsoever. The thing we have to realize about the religious element to this is we all grew up in Catholic Ireland, whether we practice now, whether we adhere to it or believe in it or not. It's in our veins. We grew up with it. We have soaked in sexual shame. We've soaked in the idea that we can't talk about it in a meaningful way, that it's all very lascivious and very funny, and that it's men against women. And these are the sorts of messages that that's the framework I'm talking about that we're sort of working within. And we really need to slow down and check our assumptions around what's correct and what we can rely on in regards to gender and sexuality and orientation and what people engage in. Because we can be, for example, I think Panty Bliss gave a beautiful talk a while ago for TED around how gay men are reduced to one sexual act. Well, where does that come from? I would believe that that would have a very strong influence. And that is still very, very strong in a lot of us, even if we're not religious. So we have to also check the sort of people we would be getting to educate our children, that they're able and comfortable and educated and relaxed, because that's what children learn more than the words coming out of someone's mouth, is the color of the teacher's face and their ability to talk about something. I think we have to stop pointing fingers, stop blaming each other and blaming ourselves. We haven't had the education. We know that. Let's stop having this conversation and move on to how we start educating ourselves.
Well, Emily, I'm afraid our listeners want to have the conversation, and one of them very much against you on this one, saying, I don't agree that sex education is in the dark ages. I was in secondary school in the 1980s, educated by the Sisters of Charity, and we had the forum to write a question, and the nun would clearly and factually answer anything from what's an orgasm to various different sexual positions, and literally every question asked was answered. Excellent, no-nonsense nun called Sister Colette did brilliantly. Well, fair play to Sister Colette. Shout out to you there.
And that is wonderful. And as I said, there are some amazing sexuality educators, but that listener has got to acknowledge that is not the majority of people's experience.
I do note that we're being very filtering on these texts. Like, I mean, we can't put all
of
these there.
Sure,
but Emily, on the key point of this, I mean, what are your top taught tips? If you're a parent out there and you're concerned that your kid isn't getting the full picture or isn't getting the right sort of information, I mean, what would you advise parents to try and do? Because, I mean, you get down to the crux of the issue there again when you talk about the redness of the face and how people are very awkward when it comes to talking about these sort of things. I mean, how do you try and bridge that if you're a parent and you are having that talk for the first time?
The first thing parents need to do in order to do this in a slightly different way than we were probably, than we experienced ourselves, is to become comfortable with the topic yourself. So you don't start the topic without having done a bit of research and a bit of practice with each other or with another adult so that you can actually answer questions and talk about the topic in a relaxed, comfortable way. As I say, that's what children pick up on more than the words. You need to start young and age appropriately. So, for example, if you're talking to your 3-year-old about them putting their hand down their trousers in public, you don't mention anything about sex. It's inappropriate to do that, but you will talk to them about public and private. That's all. And you keep it to a couple of sentences and they get it. And they start to learn, okay, my body is private and precious, so I do this in my own space and I don't share it with other people. And they can get that. But you're not shaming them about touching themselves or exploring their bodies or having pleasure. So that's the difference to what probably a lot of us got. And you start young, and the thing is, you don't have this idea of having the conversation. We all know that didn't work. We were all mortified. Our parents were mortified, and we tried not to have the conversation, and we tried to forget about it as quickly as possible. So the idea is to regularly bring it up, just one sentence here and there.
Yeah, so not just the conversation, but a series of conversations. Okay, Emily Power-Smith, thank you very much for joining us on the line. Clinical sexologist, sexuality educator, Emily Power-Smith, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. We're going to go to the calls now. Martina is on the line. She doesn't think we've come far enough at all. Martina, what's your point of view on this? I mean, is there a case that, you know, there can be a thing, though, as, you know, too much information, TMI, on this issue?
Well, I think what I heard from a priest today, I just happened to meet this man today, and I know him very, very well, and he works in our parish here in Tralee, and he said that they have been dealing all week in a particular school, he didn't name the school, with sixth class students, and he said the hair stood on his head when he saw the very explicit text messaging and pornographic material that's been exchanged between some of the students.
Mm.
They're 11 and 12 years old.
That is the big issue, isn't it, Martina? That we're now behind the times because it is a technological thing, and you have your, you know, Instagram and Snapchat and all these other things. I mean, what do you think we should do to try and address that?
Well, I'm a parent and now a grandparent myself, so I'm very fortunate. I'm at the other side of things. Well, I teach children, and some of my children are in fifth and sixth class, and they're 11 and 12 years old, and they're very innocent young children, and these children don't have mobile phones. They're not allowed access to the internet. I think it's just a whole parenting issue, how they allow children to have such easy access to very explicit information. You know yourself, if you have a mobile phone, get a Wi-Fi connection, or even they have call credit, they can top up or whatever. And children have extremely easy access to the wrong information, incorrect information, very explicit information. But nobody seems to be challenging that. You know,
no.
A child, no, it's the confirmation season at the moment. Guaranteed, most of those children will get a very, very fancy phone, an iPhone or whatever, where it's very easy to explore graphic material.
But Martina, are we putting our heads in the sands then if we're going to say, here, look, let's not give the phones to the kids or whatever because they might stumble across something?
No, I'm saying the access that's been allowed through the phones, you know, it's just, you know, to make calls and text your mom and say that you're okay or whatever. That's, I don't have an issue with that. It's just how easy it is for the children to access it. And the discussion doesn't seem to be coming from parents' side of it as to what could be experienced, how to prepare them for it. It seems, you know, is it left up to the school? Is it left up to bring in special, like that lady is saying, very specially trained and well-trained and educated people to handle sex education for children? Absolutely.
Right.
But you're dealing in a school situation where there are so many things to be dealt with. And where's the parenting side of it? You know, the parents have to get in tow with it and allowing children to have such easy access and not checking to
right.
see what's been discussed. I'm just horrified at it today. So
it's a good point, Martina. It's a good point, Martina. And thank you very much for getting in touch with us. You can get in touch with us if you're out there and you're listening in, you want to get involved in this conversation, give us a buzz. 1890 453 106. We want to put you on the air. Text us at 53106.
Thanks again for listening to this Lunchtime Live podcast. Please do subscribe via the app or on iTunes and check us out on newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Talk to you again soon.